From The Conversation, this is Politics with Michelle Grattan, a podcast where Michelle discusses the issues of the day with The Conversation's politics team.
Hi, my name's Amanda Dunn. I'm the politics and society editor for The Conversation, and I'm speaking with Michelle Grattan. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Amanda.
Michelle, Prime Minister Scott Morrison came out of COVID isolation last week and headed to the regions of New South Wales and Queensland that have been devastated by flooding, notably to Lismore in New South Wales. His government's been criticised for moving too slow in its response to the flooding and to helping people who've been affected by it, and that instead it was relying too heavily on locals to help each other on the ground. Is that a fair criticism, do you think, and did his visit change anything?
There's been a lot of blame thrown around in the wake of the flood response. It's very hard to really sort out where blame lies. Clearly, people on the ground felt that they didn't get enough help quickly enough. Obviously, in these situations, community responses will be a significant factor. I think that suggesting that they won't be is unrealistic and doesn't take into account how things have operated in the past. But especially between now the New South Wales and the federal government, there's been a lot of backgrounding, one blaming the other. I think that given that Scott Morrison's facing an election soon, he is tending to cop the worst of the blame, and he's been very anxious to emphasise, firstly, that the military got in pretty quickly, and secondly, that the government is spending a lot of money, and the federal government puts out bulletins of what it's done to try and get that message across. But in the wake of the floods, there's no doubt that this has added to his political negatives.
Okay, and on the weekend, Michelle, New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern announced her government would slash fuel excise taxes and road user charges by 25 cents a litre on petrol. Now, petrol prices have been going up very quickly because of the war in Ukraine. Scott Morrison has hinted his government might move in that direction too, but it will wait until the budget to announce it. How likely do you think it is that they will do that, and how much of a role do petrol prices actually play in elections and in voter mood?
There's no doubt that people are exercised about the rising price of petrol, but whatever the government did in terms of excise, it would only make a very small difference. There are mixed messages. Does seem to be being considered, but I think there's also reluctance to go down this path because, firstly, the impact would be minor. It's not clear that it would move votes, and also the revenue is needed. So it was interesting, for example, within the Nationals, you had one or two Nationals this week pressing the government to do something on the excise front. On the other hand, another National, Mark Coulton, was pointing out that if you went down that route, you reduced funding for roads. So it is a very difficult issue, and certainly economists are not keen on that sort of course as good policy. But of course, we're now only weeks out from the election, so we're into politics as much as good policy.
Okay, Michelle, and last night Scott Morrison had a bit of a go at opposition leader Anthony Albanese's recent weight loss. He suggested that it meant that Albanese doesn't know who he is. Morrison's obviously received a lot of flack for those comments, of course, but it doesn't really bode well for the tone of the election campaign, does it?
Well, it was a gratuitous crack, and I'm not sure whether an effective crack. I think if he was going to do this, he needed to do it with more humour and self-deprecation than he used. And also, I note that in the South Australian election campaign, which is now on, the opposition leader was pictured at a swimming pool with his child, looking very fit and sleek. So I'm not sure that looking better isn't necessarily a good way for a politician to go.
Okay. And just on the South Australian election, Michelle, obviously that happens this weekend. News polls predicting a Labor win, which would mean the Marshall government only serves one term. But we know very well, of course, not to put too much store in what the polls say. But But what would it mean if Labor did win? Would it mean anything federally?
There are not many seats, federal seats in South Australia that are subject to change. There is Boothby, and that'll be closely contested. But it would be, of course, psychologically effective because it would give Labor a bit of psychological momentum, as it were, and it would be a bit of a knock in terms of morale for the Liberals, who are feeling pretty much on the defensive at the moment federally. And it would also be significant on another level because this would be the first government to lose office since the COVID outbreak. COVID has tended to be a plus for incumbents, and if there is a change of government in South Australia, then that cycle would have been broken, and that again would be seen as possibly significant federally.
Okay, and finally, Michelle, across in Western Australia, the Prime Minister has been there today campaigning for the first time in a long time for various reasons. Anthony Albanese was there last week. How important will WA be in the election outcome, do you think?
It is important. There are two or three government seats there that are at risk. The government is worried about the WA vote, and the Prime Minister has been absolutely anxious to get there as quickly as possible. He couldn't because he, of course, had COVID, and also then the flood crisis meant he had to go to New South Wales flood areas and to Queensland. But now he is campaigning hard in the West, and I think he'll give that a fair bit of attention over the coming weeks. Although, because by definition it's a long way away, it is quite hard for politicians to get there and make frequent trips. But it's a vital state for the government and, of course, for Labor.
All right, Michelle, terrific to talk with you as always. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Amanda.
Our theme music is by Blue Dot Sessions. You can find more podcasts from The Conversation on our website at theconversation.com.